Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action. Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do.
It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can? Hey, my friends, I'm excited to share today's podcast episode with you, but I want to throw a little disclaimer out there. I committed to do 365 podcasts this year, and I'm also getting a new office on the other side of Michigan from my previous office. It doesn't matter, but I'm having some audio difficulties. I'm still under construction with our office and getting the technical stuff set up. So the audio quality of the last few podcasts isn't outstanding, but it doesn't matter. I want you to see through that, grab all the gold nuggets you can, and run towards whatever your why is, your dream is for your service company. Just wanted to throw that out there, guys. It's going to get better. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Josh here. Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. Can't believe it's day 5 of 2018. This is crazy. I got a great topic today. It's all about employees, right? Employees, that is the single easiest part of owning a small business ever, right? I mean, that it's so easy to be an entrepreneur because all you got to do is go get employees and they're super easy to find and then they do all the work and you get super rich. Not. If you have employees, obviously, you know, it is the biggest bottleneck other than yourself, because you actually are the biggest bottleneck, but it's one of the most difficult things ever. In fact, you might have heard me mention, we have an email list of about 10,000 people, and I need to do this. I haven't done it in over a year, but a couple years in a row, I'd send out these surveys, and I just ask them a bunch of questions, just try to get, like, just general data, like, on the service, home service business, like, niche, right? Like, what is your biggest pain point? And, you know, what's your philosophy on this? And how big is your business right now? And where are you going? And in fact, I'm going to put one of those together this winter. But every single time we did this, I'd ask people, what is your number one pain point? And every single time, by a lion's share majority, it was employee issues. And there's, gosh, we could do like a 2-hour podcast on this, right? We could do a 2-day long podcast on this. But what I want to do, because my commitment with Quick Talk is to try my best to deliver practical, straight to the point stuff you can actually apply to your business like tomorrow. And this is a really good one. So here's what I want you to understand. You hear me talk about systems. And sometimes I say your business is already fully systemized, even if you have no documentation. So the question isn't, should you look at systems? Should you try to build a system? No, you already have systems. And when it comes to employees, you already have a fully systemized employee everything, like the whole process of recruiting and all that and the culture in your company. All that is the result of your intentionality and the way that you are as a leader and the way that your company operates internally and all that stuff. We don't really think of it like that, but that is the truth. And the results you're getting are directly because of what's being put into the system, right? You put an input and you get an output. And once in a while, you get an anomaly. Like, you might be super awesome and have a great team, but you've made a couple bad hires in a row and it really screwed up your 2017 year. That definitely happens. It's happened to me. I always tell people that to be a really good leader who is motivational and inspirational and you care about people and you invest in them and you go deep with them, and that's how you get people to rally behind you. When you do that, it's still very risky because people will absolutely still stab you in the back. I always joke I've been stabbed in the front too, right? I've had people I've given, you know, loans to, and that's a very bad idea though for your employees, but I have a big heart and I've given them loans, I've helped them, I've surprised them, I've invested in them, I've like prayed for them, I've been there for them, like I cheered them on, and they still utterly, utterly screwed our company over without cause entirely. So that is possible, but it doesn't matter. So the 5 pieces I'm going to teach you are what I teach is called the employee life cycle, you can call it. And these are the 5 different touch points or systems that you need to create in your business and have ready for the spring so that you can dominate and, you know, improve your employee situation, right? Because maybe you're looking to grow. The first thing is recruiting. The second thing is interviewing. The third thing is hiring. The fourth thing is training. And the fifth thing is leadership development. Now, each one of these items, and I'll be repeating them as we go along, each one of these things is its own thing. Okay, people gloss over recruiting. They're like, recruiting, yeah, I get it, Josh. I recruit. I put my ad on Craigslist. I did a Facebook post, Josh. What do you want from me, Josh? What's wrong with you, Josh? Well, that's not recruiting. Recruiting is a skill set. It's something you can develop. You have to look at it different, though, than maybe some of you look at it. You know, recruiting is identical to marketing for a new customer. When you are going to recruit, step one is to build what's called an avatar. Who is your ideal employee? Now, you still might make a hire that falls outside of these parameters, but you need to have what's called an avatar. You know, a 24 to 32 year old that has no kids, that has a college degree or doesn't have a college degree, or he loves sports, or we want a female that's like this, has this type of personality, who is in theater. I don't know, whatever. Who's your perfect prototypical, like your perfect prototype for an employee? Figure out who that is. And define it and actually write it down. Sketch a little stick figure, write down how old they are, what their deal is, what their background is, you know, all that stuff. That's called your avatar. The reason you got to do that is because you need to move on to step two, which is copywriting. You need to be able to write words. You ever heard the phrase wordsmithing? Like, some people are so good with their words, they're called wordsmiths. It's like they're what's the other smith? Ironsmith? No. Blacksmith? Think of a blacksmith, but with words. Like, you're crafting and forging something to get elicit a response from somebody. That's wordsmithing. And when you write job recruitment posts, you gotta stop acting like you're from the Industrial Revolution, okay? You gotta stop acting like, you know, $15 an hour, labor job, apply today, must be drug free. Like, that's not gonna do anything for you, okay? It's gonna get you the results that all your competitors are getting, and that's good for you and bad for them. Instead, you want to market for the right fish. Now, we already built our avatar, and that is going to give us the species of fish. You know, me and Brian Hegarty were talking about this, because just quick plug for Brian. Go back in the podcast and look for almost a year ago, but I did 3 podcasts in a row with Brian. He's hired over 1,000 people in his career. He's super wicked smart with this, and he has a whole system and a course called the Ultimate Employee Rockstar Toolkit. And it's amazing. And we've sold a ton of them through automategrowsell.com. You can go there and check it out. And everybody loves it. Everybody loves it. It's great. But as a side note, okay, back to the podcast. The thing is that you want to be interesting, and you want to lure in the right fish, which is your avatar. You do that through the words. You do that through a video. You know, I had this really effective post for my company. I should actually find it and read it, but I didn't pull it up before I started recording. So I can't do that right now, but maybe I'll edit that in. I'll edit it in. All right, cool, awesome. I'm splicing this audio clip in. This is the job post I used that was super successful for us. I mean, we hired tons of people because of this job post. I'm just going to read it to you to help you out here. Do you need a job? Great. Do you need money? Awesome. Birds Beware Window Cleaning from Fenton, Michigan is expanding. We have several opportunities for the fill-in-the-year season. Read below for more details. If all of the following statements are true, then we want to hear from you. You're a happy person. You dislike egos and tough guy or girl mentalities. You like puppies. Really hard physical work doesn't scare you. You want a job that has a future. You are teachable and coachable. If any of the following statements are true, then we do not want to hear from you. You are an unhappy person. You hate puppies. Really hard work makes you cry. You have a negative attitude, ego, or other problems. You smoke, do drugs, or are a big partier. You look like a serial killer. Here's what this job is. You will be an assistant. This is for an assistant. Here's what this job is. You'll be an assistant to the crew leader as a window cleaner. You'll be trained to clean windows properly, pressure wash houses, clean roofs, and safely clean gutters. We offer a 3-day training and introductory course at our office to get you up to speed before you ever set foot on a real job site. The pay starts out low because you don't know anything yet and will be $9 an hour. After 60 days of exceptional performance, we'll give you a raise to 10. If you're a top performer and a really great fit with our company, then you'll be promoted next season to crew leader. Our crew leaders earn $700 a week as a base salary plus bonuses. They are very detail-oriented. They love their jobs. They love this company. They work hard but get to work outside every day without someone standing over their shoulders. If any of this sounds like a good fit for you, then please listen to very carefully. I need you to reply to this post with the words purple unicorn in the subject line. Most people will not follow this instruction because they are not detail oriented and will not read this entire job post. Are you the one we want to hire next? Question mark. And then it has an email address and it says, P.S. Watch this video to meet one of the owners. It links to a YouTube video of me talking about our company. PSS, we have thousands of customers and are just getting started. PSSS, I think it's supposed to be PPS, but I didn't know that at the time. Anyway, PSSS, we are a very high level, we perform a very high level of service for our customers. PSSSS, we take care of our staff, they are family. PSSSSS, this is a ridiculous amount of PSs. Must be able to lift over 50 pounds easily and be able to carry ladders safely. Must not be afraid of heights and should be comfortable on roofs. We love men, women, short, tall, black, white, and everything in between. If you are the right person, it will not be because of your age, race, or gender. Okay, so the point of that is that it's funny, it's fun, it's different, it's unique, and we got an outrageous response for that. From that. This is a really old post. I don't remember where the pricing came from, but we paid those entry-level hourly rates many years ago. I think we raised them up to like $12 the last couple years before I sold. But anyway, hopefully you get the point. Now back to the podcast. Okay, anyway, so it's this long form post and it talks about all the cool stuff of our company and all the good stuff, the bad stuff. You know, you gotta love puppies, there's humor in it, but it's long. And buried in the bottom of the post, it says something along the lines of, you know, when you reply to this job post, you must reply with the words purple unicorn in the subject line. And the reason I did that is because I was trying to find people that were detail oriented, number one, and number two, people that read the entire post rather than just kind of skimmed it and applied. And they're just kind of like spam replying, like applying to jobs. It's like the most lazy possible way to try to get a job, right? So we'd get like, out of 10 responses, 8 of them wouldn't have purple unicorn in the subject line and 2 of them would. I immediately deleted the 8. And that might sound crazy because honestly, there probably was some good like candidates in there that just missed that sentence and didn't put purple unicorn. But I didn't care about that. What I did care about is that I was trying to build a system, a recruiting system that I could transfer to someone else. The company I sold still uses this same post to this day, I'm pretty sure. And the purple unicorn thing is a system. So doesn't mean that the people that replied purple unicorn are going to be a good fit, but it does mean they read the whole post, which means they're hungry and that they're detail oriented. Okay. The second thing you want to do is, you know, get them to engage with you. And I'm not going to go into all of Brian's stuff because you can listen back in that podcast. I want to make the point though, that recruiting is a thing. It's an entire freaking thing and you need to go deep on it and put some time into it. The second thing you have to do is interview. And when you interview, there's tons of common mistakes people make when they interview. The biggest mistake ever with interviewing is that you don't actually call the person's references and past employers. Yeah, it's because you're freaked out and you don't want to do it. And then you feel bad and you feel weird. And hey, they seem like a nice guy. And his past job was exactly what I need. And so we kind of jump the gun and we make the hire. But we don't do the due diligence we need to on the back end. And that can cause a lot of pain and suffering. It's well worth 17 minutes to call 5 different people and talk to them about little Susie Q who applied to work with you, right? And when you call them, you want to do it in a particular way. I'll just give you some practical tips. When you call a reference, you got to understand that these references are propagandists for Susie Q. Like nobody puts someone that hates their guts on as a reference, right? So what you're trying to figure out is you're honestly just trying to figure out if Susie will be a good fit. You're not saying, is Susie a bad person? Is Susie a lying, conniving, horrible scumbag? Like she's probably not, right? But is this job a good fit? So when you call, it's like, hey, Tom, my name's Josh. We have a mutual contact named Susie Q. And I actually have a small business here in town. And she puts you down as a reference. And super sorry to bother you. But can we talk for like 2 or 3 minutes? They're like, yeah, sure. How long have you known Susie? What's her deal? Right? And what you're doing is you're trying to listen to the story behind the story. Okay, you can hear when someone wakes up and comes alive, like, oh, Susie, oh, so proud of her. She's the greatest ever and this and that, and they're going on and on. That means one thing. Or someone says, oh, yeah, Susie, she grew up next door to us and she seems like a nice young lady and, what you know, I've always liked her. That's a different kind of response. Doesn't mean she's disqualified, but it's different. Then you ask another question and you say, you know, we have kind of a weird company and we're a small family company and we try to be really careful on who we hire. And Susie seems awesome, I really like what I see. What I'm confused on though is I'm not sure if she'll be a good fit for this job. I'm just wondering your opinion. Like, you know, we work really late hours. We get up really, really early. We have to work in the rain sometimes, lots of weekends, like just a lot of physical work. And, you know, I'm just not sure. Like, the last thing I want is for Susie to come here and be totally disappointed. And I mean, what are your thoughts? Does that seem like it'd be a good fit for her? And then their response, again, you're listening for the story behind the story. And they're going to say something like, yeah, I'm sure, you know, if she applied, you know, she'd be good. She's reliable. You know, Susie's a good person. That's one response, the not ideal one. The other one would be like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Ever since I've known Susie, she's just out working, digging holes, climbing trees. And like, she's made for a job like that. That's the better response. But you got to call the references. Then when you do interviewing, you want to do, according to Brian, a group interview. And I've participated in several of these, including one with him last year. And it is very, very powerful. So instead of interviewing someone face-to-face for, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes and asking them, you know, basic questions like, do you smoke crack? And instead of doing that, you do a group interview and you make it long. That's the key. Make it 45 minutes plus. You want to hit them for like an hour and just talk to them. It's hard for liars to hold it all together for that long. It's exhausting, right? And so you're just asking them questions. You're not just hammering them. You're also still kind of getting them excited about the possibility of working for you, but you're also asking very sharp, very direct questions and just listening, right? And it just does something. When there's two or three people interviewing one person for that long, you can see them start to sweat and crack and whatever. And if they've made it that far in the process with you, and they survive the hour-long interview, imagine the level of candidate that you're going to have as opposed to doing a Craigslist post twice, getting five applicants, and then four of them are garbage, but you got to make three hires. So you hire three out of the five, and two of them are literally crap, and you know they're crap. I've hired people before that I knew for a fact were a disaster, but I felt like I had no choice. Like, I needed a human to put my blue work shirt on, to kick in the butt and get them out there to do hard work. And it was a disaster, but that was because I didn't have systems and I wasn't organized with recruiting and interviewing and all this stuff. The other thing is that you want to make sure you do is have a massive amount of effort behind your recruiting and your interviewing. You need to do more of it than you think. So if you're hiring for three job positions this spring, I want you to pretend like you're hiring for 30. You know, Grant Cardone has that 10X rule thing. This is a really good situation to apply that to. Whatever you think it's going to be needed for you to get enough responses to make three hires, multiply it by 10. Just way overdo it because you're going to be way better off for it. So, okay, again, number one, recruiting, it's a thing. Interviewing, it's a thing. Third one is hiring. This is another thing that people totally overlook or don't really think is important that I think is hugely important. It's the hiring process. It's the onboarding. It's that first day or that first half a day when the person's hired and they're excited and they tell their mom, I got a job. And they're like, yay. And then they come to your office and they're nervous and freaking out because going to your first day of work is like going to your first day of school and it's super weird. But they come there. What is that experience like for your team member? You know, you need to have them fill out all the really cool like HR docs. If you have a tiny company, still go online and get all these cool documents so that it feels like they're working for a real corporation that is has a real vision that's really going somewhere. They don't just show up and say, like, hey, thanks for coming. Why don't you come here. I'll try to train you. Like, what would that feel like to the employee? It feels like a piece of crap company that's going nowhere. I'm going to be like continuing my job search when I go home, right? That's what they're going to do to you. Instead, when they get there, it's like, Mary, we're so happy you're here. Come on in. I'm going to introduce you to our team. This is Joe. And Joe is like arms wide open, like, Mary, what's up? Mary, great to see you, man. Did you go to Lake Fenton High School? Yeah, I thought I saw you from the... And your whole team is warm. And then they fill out an entire packet of HR docs, like with their emergency contact information and their SOCH and their address and their email and their phone number. And they put a drug test consent form and they fill that out. They get a background check consent form and a driving record background thing and they fill out all this stuff and it feels like a real job. And then you get into the culture and the onboarding. You give them their uniform. You give them their name badge. You have them sign a little document saying, you know, I'm going to take care of the iPad that's going to be issued to me when I start here. And I understand the company equipment's this. Then you tell them your company story. And you say, look, you know, I'm the first entrepreneur in my family, and it's been a wild ride, Mary, before you got here. And, you know, just a little bit about us. You know, we started with a 28-foot ladder on top of a 1994 Chevy Cavalier, and I'd show them a picture. In fact, a picture of me in that car, because that is how I started my company, was inside of our onboarding packet, because it's important to share the past with them and then be able to share the future with them. And then you start laying down the leadership, right? You're indoctrinating them. You're driving culture, saying, we're going to build an organization that's special. And we're going to do it by playing by the rules. Like, we're going to do it while respecting our staff and loving on them and caring for them. And we're going to hit sales records, and we're going to grow and make a lot of money. And we're going to pay you guys very well, but we're also going to have honesty, integrity. We're going to do it the right way. And we're so excited that you're here to be a part of that with us. You literally look them in the eye and you say this. This is the third step of the employee thing. So we talked about recruiting. We talked about interviewing. This is hiring. This is what I call hiring. It's that whole packet of docs with the culture and the onboarding and introducing to your team that first half a day or that first day. That should be an experience. That's why I call it the employee life cycle, okay? And so now they're seeing that you got your crap together. Or they had to go through this crazy process to even get an interview with you. And then you called all their references. And then they do this hour interview with you. And then you hire them. And then they get this warm welcome, right? Then we get into the fourth point, which is training. And with training, you need to have this stuff documented. And if you don't know where to start, just go online and open up a mind map. I use MindNode for Mac, but you can use MindMeister. It's awesome. Just puke out everything you could ever think of on three categories that you could possibly want to train your employee on. The first is technical. So if you're hiring someone for the field, what are all the relevant technical stuff they need to know to be professionally competent? Just don't even try to organize it yet. Just puke out everything you think of. Like, they got to check the oil in the truck. They have to know the PSI of the thing. They got to make sure they don't use a razor blade on dry glass. They got to understand how to use the pH of the chemical with the thing, with the converter, with the flux capacitor. They got to know how to carry a ladder. They got to know how to strap down a ladder. They have to know all that stuff, right? That's the training for professional competency. Mind map it and just crank it out there. And then the second category under training is going to be safety. How do they not die? How do they follow procedures and protocols to make sure they're safe? What are they allowed to do? What are they not allowed to do? What angle does the ladder go? How do you do this and that? How fast do you drive? What happens if they speed, right? All that. And the third one is what I call culture and processes. So you're going to teach them scripts. You're going to teach them your three-point process when they go to a customer's home, and how do they engage the customer? What do they say? Do they take their shoes off? Do they put those little booties on? What do they say halfway through the job? How do they do an upsell? How do they do this and that? What is the process culturally, right, for them to be an employee with you? This should be part of your training program. You can build this stuff in like a week. You're already doing most of this stuff. You just have to document it. Because the ultimate goal is for you to pass all of this stuff to someone else. I didn't do the recruiting. I didn't even do the interviewing. I didn't do any of the stuff. I didn't even do the training or the onboarding. I wasn't even the one telling the story about the ladder in my car. My operations manager did that. It was a system. I would be playing ping pong, you know, dreaming about how I'm going to build this app called Send Gym, right? And they're in there interviewing people and doing onboarding, and they're passing out uniforms, and they're like cheering and clapping and doing all this stuff with me in the other room. You can do the same thing. That's how you get set free. But you got to understand these points, okay? There's one more point. It's called leadership development. And I know this is a lot. I'm just like mind puking information onto you, but go back and listen to it again, because there's gold nuggets everywhere in this podcast. We got recruiting, interviewing, hiring, training, and now leadership development. How are you going to help them grow as a human? How are you going to help them grow as a employee? How are you going to help them grow as a dad? You have influence on all these people that work for you. And you can build simple systems to invest in them and show them by example what being a leader means. And it starts with you actually caring about them. So the first thing I would recommend you put in your leadership development program is what I call planned randomness. I had another guest on my podcast who's a best-selling author. He's actually a pretty big deal, and he's growing in popularity even more now. He's been on TV and all kinds of stuff. His name is John Rulin. He's amazing. He wrote a book called Giftology, and you can go back and search at quicktalkpodcast.com and find that episode. But he talks about this concept called planned randomness. And what it is, it's when you structurally and systematically figure out how many times per year am I going to surprise my staff with a gift or a note of appreciation or an unexpected thing that's positive and warm and fuzzy. When am I going to do that, and how many times throughout the year, and what will the value of those different touches be? I had a spreadsheet, and I had the names of all my staff. I had the names of all their spouses or their boyfriends and girlfriends. I had their hobby, their favorite color, their favorite type of music. I had tons of stuff. I had like data points on my staff. And then I had what I called their employee love language, meaning from the best is what I could tell, what did they respond to the most? Some people, you give them a $100 bill and they're like on fire, right? So that would be money. And that's great. It's totally valid. Some people respond to straight up cash. A lot of people don't though. Lots of people don't. Some people it's public recognition. Like you're doing your team meeting and you say, John, can you stand up for a second? Listen, I just want all you guys to understand what John did last week. And I know he's embarrassed and I'm calling him out, but like he did this amazing thing and he did this thing for a customer. And it was like ridiculous. And we didn't even tell him to. He just used his own brain, made a decision. It was amazing. It showed extreme leadership. I just want to give it up. John, come here. I got a $50 gift card for you. I just want to say thank you. That was awesome. Give it up for John. And we all clap, right? For someone that receives public recognition as like their fuel for motivation, they're going to go to war for you for like 3 months because of that, right? So then you have words of affirmation. Maybe it's just pulling them aside privately and be like, man, I just want to let you know that I see you. I see what you're doing. I'm paying attention and I am like seriously impressed. If there's anything I can do to come alongside you and help you, you let me know. I want you to look me in the eye. I promise me you're going to let me know because you have massive potential. I'm just so happy that you're here, that we're lucky enough to have you on our team. Bam! You just filled up their bucket. You're filling up their bucket, dog. And that's what words of affirmation is. And there's other ones. But anyway, so plan randomness. Figure out how are you going to inject different awesome gifting ideas throughout the year that are unexpected to them. It feels random to them. But to you, it's structured. To you, it's part of your system. To you, it's something you can teach your general manager, your operations manager, whatever, later to continue forward. It doesn't require you because it's a system. Does that make sense, guys? I hope it does. Other leadership development ideas are attaching people's pay raises to things like reading books or doing book reports or running team meetings, or they get points if they're doing certain behaviors. Anything like that is good. Anything that's positive and encouraging and motivating. Any kind of behavior that you want to drive in your staff, you just need to find a way to gamify it or attach it to money. Or at least measure it, and it's going to improve. So there you go. There's the five steps for hiring, or not hiring, but just employees, because that is the biggest pain point. You got recruiting, you got interviewing, you got hiring, which includes onboarding, and you have training. And training includes technical training, safety training, and the culture / procedural stuff like the paperwork. And then the last one is leadership development. You could have a tiny company, and if you do what I just said to the best of your ability, absolutely not in perfection, but if you do what I said to the best of your ability, your business could double or triple this year because of the team you'll be able to pull together by doing this. Straight up, okay? This is real. You need to take a hard look about how you're doing things right now because your business is already systemized. Now, I just gave you 23 minutes so far, not even counting the intro. Oh, and I'm going to go back and read my job post. And cut that in. Or I guess if you're listening to this, I already cut it in. But I just gave from my heart to you. Now I have a request. Can you go on iTunes and leave me a 5-star review? Number one, I'm going to give you a huge giant noogie and high five, in my brain. Like I'll be totally like having a single tear of joy roll down my right cheek as I read your review. It helps us get the word out. And then two, can you share the podcast, like in Facebook groups or LinkedIn groups or on Google+, even though no one uses that? Can you share it and tag me in it? That way I know you did it. And just be like, Josh is awesome. This podcast is amazing. Because we need to help other people. Don't be a selfish little meanie pants and secretly hold this all to yourself. Put it on your Facebook. Maybe there's a few friends that would get value out of this. That would be awesome for me. And lastly, if you need to know how to get new customers on demand in a systemized, structured way, you need to check out Radius Bomb, which is the awesome feature inside of my software, Send Jim. And if you're interested in learning how to have a client retention strategy that is like wicked, next level, awesome automation, but creates raving fan loyal customers, it's really easy and amazing, go to sendjim.com and check it out. That's why I'm here, guys. I'll talk to you later. I love you all. God bless, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.